All right, so we're starting the sugya on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Okay, it's a little bit complicated about the certain halachic details of the Dalet Kosos. Okay, but before we get started with all the halachic complications, so let's just get a basic idea of the Dalet Kosos themselves. So the first Mishnah, right, in the Perek. The Mishnah says, Lo yochal ad sheyesev, you can't eat until you recline. V'lo yifchesu lo me'arba koso shel yayin. V'afilu min atamchoy. Okay, So the Mishnah says that even the poorest person, even someone who is supported from tzedakah, the ani sheba aniyim, Rashi says, still is required to take money from the tzedakah to have dalet kosos. So what are the dalet kosos? So Rashi here says, right? I think most people are familiar with this. Kineged arba lishone geula. Hamurim begolos Mitzrayim, right? I think we discussed it last year also. V'hotzeisi eschem, v'hitzalti eschem, v'gaalti eschem, v'lokachti eschem. Right? Got the chumash? So it's in the beginning of our era. So Hashem is telling Moshe the About the mission of Yitzhak Shem. So he says, V'gam hakimosi as brisi itam, lo seis lam as eretz kanan, es eretz migram asher goruva. So I'm going to be mekayim now the haftacha to the avos. V'gam ani shomati as nakas b'nei Yisrael, asher mitzrayim avidin osam, v'ezkor as brisi. I hear the groans of b'nei Yisrael. That the Mitzrim are really are working them very hard, and I remembered my bris. Lochein emor levnei Yisrael ani Hashem v'hotzeisi. So this is the pasuk Rashi is referring to. There are four lashonos of gula. V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivos Mitzrayim. I'll remove them. I'll take them out of the burden of Mitzrayim. V'hitzalti eschem me'avodasam, and I will save them from their work. Right, from the Avdos. V'go'alti eschem bezro netuya. I will redeem them with an outstretched hand. U'v'shvatim gedolim. V'lokachti eschem li l'om. And I will take them to me as a nation. V'yisi lochem l'elokim v'yidatim ki ani Hashem l'kecham hotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, this is from the Yerushalmi, that the four lashonos of Geula, there are four lashonos of Geula in this pasuk. So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says there are four Lashonos, okay, ready? Hotzeisi, Hitzalti, Goalti, and Lokachti. And each kos, because of those four Lashonos of Geula, they were Masake in four kosos. So the kosos are really connected to Lashonos of Geula. And the whole night of Pesach is dedicated to discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the question is, just quickly, because we did discuss this other times before, quickly, what are the lashonos? It's not a repetition. Each lashon represents a different idea. And it's not just a repetition of the same geula over and over and over again, four times. Why four times? Five times? I mean, if it's just the same thing, it's not adding anything. So, if you look through the parsha, look through the Ramban and the Rashi, it seems they're describing the four steps, right, that are required to take the nation of slaves, and to give them true freedom, right, Mayor? So although this sounds similar, we have to get the basic, we have to understand what the difference is between them. Okay, so I'll just give you again quickly the quick version here. Hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, What does that mean? I'll take you out of the burden, the sivlos Mitzrayim, the burden of Mitzrayim. So again, the idea we're trying to work out over here is that to discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to discuss the elements of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just derech of chokhmah is you got to look into the event and see that, you know, to go from 200 plus years of slavery, that's a very debilitating experience to people. And we can see modern examples of people nations who have been enslaved, and it really is a debilitating experience. So how do you go? So there are different elements that are necessary. It's not just, you know, you take them out of Mitzrayim and they're going to be a free people. They have to be. There's a four-step program, according to the Torah, a four-step program to take a slave nation into a free nation. Okay? So let's take the first step. So the first step is Otzeisias Chemitacha Sivlos Mitzrayim. So the basic burden of slavery. Okay, Rashi says, Torach Masa Mitzrayim. A slave is prevented from being, the essence of the slavery that's debilitating is the most fundamental element of the slavery that's debilitating is the fact that you don't have your own free time. You don't have your own choice. You don't have your own ability to do what you want to do. So the slave is the immediate impact on the slave is that he has Torach Masa Mitzrayim. He's busy. He can't be involved in his own livelihood. Masha kona eved kona rabo. The eved doesn't do anything for himself. Everything he does is for his master. Is that Michael, you on there?
Hello.
Okay. So that's Hotzeis Yischem Mitach HaSivlos Mitzrayim. Now, V'hitzalti Yischem Me'avodasom. So that sounds like the same thing. Right, Mayor?
Yep.
That sounds like the same thing. So the Ramban explains very, very nicely that means to say that a group of people, slaves, could have their own freedom, their own personal freedom, but as a group they could be in servitude to another group. In other words, they wouldn't have autonomy of a people. In other words, there's a personal freedom that a slave is lacking. But a nation is more than just individuals. A nation is a group of a tzibur. So it's possible to say, okay, you don't have to work for us anymore, but you don't have the right to form your own group. You don't have the right to organize your own government. You're free individuals, citizens of Mitzrayim. So that's the second element. Not only were they saved from the personal labor that doesn't allow a slave to be his own man, but they were taken out of the servitude of Mitzrayim in general. They were removed from the political structure of Mitzrayim. They were given autonomy, what they call now the right of self-determination. Right? The UN is built on that kind of an idea. The nation has a right to self-determination. So that's v'hitzalti yaschem me'avodasom. It doesn't mean the sivlos Mitzrayim is the physical labor. But one nation could be in servitude to another nation. Right, like someone mentioned when the Jews were living under the Roman rule. So they didn't have full authority to do whatever they wanted. So they were taken out of Mitzrayim, out of the grasp of their authority. Now what's v'ga'alti yaschem bezron atui v'shvatim gedolim? So that's interesting. So that I think means, Ramban explains it, I think the pshat. So it means to say like this. You remember this one, Aaron? Geula means redemption, right? Geula means redemption, and Geula means redemption. So there's a certain idea that if you have to think about it like in a reverse way. If the Jews were given personal freedom and political freedom, what would they be lacking, right?
something else, the geula, is being supplied. So we could look at it the other way. What would be lacking? So what we wanted to say is like this. There's a certain idea of dignity. There's an idea of dignity that has to be given to a freed nation to be considered for in order to that for them to be, have the ability to act on their own. In other words, you could free people. You could say, look, you're on your own. But they still, that doesn't remove what we call the slave mentality. They just freed slaves. They remain freed slaves. The Jews were not freed slaves. Yeah. Superiority complex. So the Jews were not just freed, but they were redeemed. And what was the part of the redemption? I think the Ramban quote says that. That they were taken out with the pasuk says zero and the tuyo of shvatim gedolim. They were taken out with a demonstration that they're deserving of this, and taken out with a demonstration that and the Ramban I think mentions that the gods of Mitzrayim were destroyed during the time of the Gula. Means to say it was a reversal of the order of the society. The Jews were vindicated. Their God was shown to be the real God, and the God of the Mitzrayim was shown to be the fake God. And that's a vindication of their whole situation. In other words, there's a certain idea, a certain false idea, that the ruling party always tries to impress upon the people, and that is that there's a certain natural order. We're the masters and you're the slaves. Why? Because that's what it should be. That's what we are. We are intrinsically superior to you. You're like a subhuman person. And, it couldn't be any other way. And then the person starts to believe that about themselves. A slave could start feeling that about themselves. And even though they're freed, they still have that feeling about themselves. So, the Jews, Klal Yisrael, was not a nation that just fled their masters. They're not runaway slave nation. They were, the whole Geula was designed to show that in reality the Jew was really the right one. The Am Yisrael was really the deserving nation, and the situation of Avdus was has some purpose. It had fulfilled some plan, but it wasn't a natural thing. It wasn't a natural thing. And part of the and part of the geula, I mean, the different reasons for all the different things. But when they left, they actually had to borrow things from their masters. Right? I think the Rav mentioned something about that. That a master doesn't borrow, a slave doesn't borrow from his master. Right? The cleaning lady, we wouldn't lend your cleaning lady jewelry and things like that. I mean, alachas v'kama, a person that's a slave of yours. So, to lend and to borrow implies some parity, implies some equality. So when they left with a dignity. And the masters actually lent them things, yeah. Certain psychological, I mean, the psychological is very, very important. A person can't succeed if he doesn't have a certain psychological or philosophical idea about a proper idea about himself. If you feel very inferior, it's difficult to, you don't, like the Rambam says, a person can be a very strong man, he gets bad news and he can't lift his arms. The psychological, it has a tremendous effect on you. You can't minimize it. And for a person to feel, for a whole nation to feel like they're just inferior people, they would not be able to have to become Klal Yisrael. You have to have a certain sense of self. And the truth of the matter is, an Eved doesn't have a sense of self. That's really what's very debilitating about an Eved. He doesn't have a sense of his own destiny. He feels he's just part of the master's house. And
do they have fantasies?
I mean the ultimate level of the Avdus is no, it's completely gone. Obviously, maybe the first generation does
feels that they're in the situation, but the ultimate Eved does not. Okay, anyway, so what's the last step? And then the last step is Vilokachti Eschem Lilam. So that is Torah. That is Torah. And without all of everything, everything was a preparation. The first three steps are really preparations to be able to be the Gavra, the person that's able to embody the accept the Avodas Hashem. And that's like we say in the Haggadah. We say that the Klal Yisrael were compared to like a young girl who was physically mature but not fully clothed. That's the mashal. So the mitzvahs were the full adornment. Okay? Now obviously that's the fifth cup is Veivesi, that the nation needs a land. Ultimately, it's fulfilled through Veivesi.
Which is the fifth cup?
Oh, the fifth cup, yeah. There was a minute. There's a minute. Some people have a fifth cup also. That implies the...
You have a fifth cup.
No, we don't have a fifth cup.
Well,
Eliyahu. That's where the kosher Eliyahu comes from, the idea of the fifth cup. Because Eliyahu is the geula. It's not that he's really coming and drinking from your cup.
I didn't think so.
No.
What are we doing?
So that's the idea. The Rashi says that's Kineged Arba Lashon Egula. So the Kosos were introduced, Midrabanon, to highlight the four elements. A person shouldn't just think, like we said before, Chachma is differentiation. You know, Chachma demands a person to look into an event and isolate the points that really were essential. Right. The foolish person just says, "Oh, they left Mitzrayim," and then that's it. And just looks at it as a undifferentiated whole. Chachma demands that you analyze it, and you say, "Well, no, there were actually four things that were going on in what looked like one event. Given the psychology and the reality of man, four separate things had to occur. It might have happened simultaneously, or close to that." But you have to, with your chachma, you have to differentiate. So the idea of having the four kosos really is to highlight those elements that that were really contributed to the true gula, right? Okay. So now, what do we do with these four kosos? Yeah. Okay. So what do we do with the four kosos? How did they institute these four kosos? So that's what the Gemara says later on. Now, as we all know that they distributed them through with a Seder of mitzvah. Right? The Gemara says later, says since there were four kosos, the Rabbanan said to do a mitzvah with each one. Now each one becomes part of a Seder of Haggadah itself. So what's the first one? First one is Kiddush. Right? First one is Kiddush. Second one is what? Is the Haggadah. Right, the whole Seder Haggadah is on the second coast. Third one is Birkas HaMazon. Right. And the fourth one is the Hallel. Right? Okay. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. I say a quick about it. On the very the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, so the Gemara is discussing the third coast. So this is the third coast, you bench on the third coast. So he says, Omer Rav Chana and LaRava, Shema Mina, Birkas HaMazon Tuna Kos. So he says, this is a difficult Gemara. But he says, you see from here that you need a coast when you bench. Omer Lei, so he said, no, it doesn't mean you need a coast to bench, but it means like this. Arbar Kasi Tikni Rabbanan Dera Cheres. That the four kosos were instituted derech cheres, but they decided to do a mitzvah with each one. So there's another idea here with the dalet kosos, and that's what Aragamar discusses too. Cheres, there's a certain idea of cheres in the kosos. So what does it mean cheres? Freedom. What does that mean? Derech Harris. That's the way of a free man.
Back to Purim.
Way of a free man. All right, so we have to think. I mean, this is what this sugya really is trying to figure out. How do we combine all of these ideas? How do we work out
the takana of four kosos, you know, the idea of cheres that's in the four kosos, and really there's a third idea that's in the four kosos. What is that? Simchas Yom Tov. So that's what comes out from this sugya. There are really three things that are overlapping on these four kosos. And what the Gemara is trying to work out is how you can fulfill each one. So again, go through the sugya, you will see there's an inyan of the obviously the mitzvah of the dalakosos themselves. There's also an inyan of cheres, which is a little vague. We'll have to see what that means. And there's on top of that, according to at least the Tosfos and the Rashbam, there's also a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov in general. In general, every Yom Tov you have a mitzvah of Simcha with Yayin.
Okay. What do you mean by mitzvahs is a separate thing?
What's that?
This thing of Navid by mitzvah is a separate thing? Or?
That's how they decided the order. They decided the order to distribute the four kosos, that each kos should be associated with a mitzvah. So Kiddush, right, the placement. Kiddush, Haggadah, Birkas HaMazon, and Hallel.
That's
nice.
Okay, so the first thing is that what? Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, these four kosos need to have in them enough for Mezigas Kos Yofer. So what does that mean? What's a Mezigas Kos Yofer mean? In general, what does that mean? Mezigas Kos Yofer? How much? What does Rashi say? Who do you want to do? Rashi or Rashi?
Yeah, let's go Rashi.
Rashi, go ahead.
They can be Shiro, Rover Revius.
Okay, so this is very confusing, right? Their old wine is very confusing. The way they had the wine is not the way we have wine. So they had like a concentrated wine, right? They call that Yayin Chai. Like concentrated orange juice. Anybody ever make concentrated orange juice? Right. In Israel they have that? Okay. So what does it mean kidei mezigas kos yafeh? What does it mean enough for a mezigas? I mean, you should just say it should be mezigas kos yafeh. So it's referring to this idea of how much of the concentrate must there be in there. Right? So what is it? It's a quarter of a revius is enough to mix up a full kos of revius, because the ratio of water to wine, the water to the concentrate was 3-1. So if you want to arrive at a revius, you start with a quarter of a revius of yayin chai, and then you'll get, add three portions, three quarters to the quarter, three quarters of water to the quarter, and right, and a quarter plus three quarters is one. Rovaries. Yeah. But then Rashi drops the bombshell over here, right? And he says, and the havamin of this Gemara right now is that what did Shmuel mean? That the four kosos halalu, arba kosos halalu, have to have kidei mezigas kos yofeh. It means to say that in sum, if you sum up all of the four kosos, bain kulon, it adds up to one revius of yayin. Of good wine.
Mazug.
You need enough yayin chai to render one revius of wine for all four kosos combined. So now, basically, each kos is a quarter of a revius. And the amount of yayin chai that you need for each kos is a quarter of a quarter of a revius.
Just
116.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Right
there. So this is concentrate, not in terms of the water. Each cup needs to be a revius, but of that revius,
no.
How much needs to be
no.
Wine?
No.
So you really need one concoction of one revius, and then
you distribute it among the four kosos.
Wow. So each cup is not like
tiny. That's
tiny.
You still have to keep the 3-1 ratio.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, it goes like this. Kidei mezigas kos yofeh, let's just define kidei mezigas kos yofeh. That is a quarter of a revius of yayin chai in order to arrive at a revius of yayin. Right? So that's what it means. Now let's just define that portion of the statement. Kidei mezigas kos yofeh means enough to produce a full revius of yayin. But now Rashi says,
But the Gemara thinks at this point that what he means, arva kosos halalu, these four kosos need that revius, it means in all, means bain kulam, between all of them. They need to share one revius. In other words, you need four, these four kosos, how much wine do you need? One revius. Mazug. One revius mazug, correct. Right. One revius mazug. A total of one revius. Right. Mazug, fine.
So how much... Okay.
So this is obviously is a bizarre, strange way of learning. I mean, nobody likes this way of learning. Except Rashi. It's one of those situations. It happens a few times. But Rashi's like totally on his own. Nobody else agrees with Rashi.
What's
the big problem anyway? So our challenge is, what's his thought process? Okay, fine. Yeah, we have to make sense out of Rashi. You can't just leave Rashi hanging over here.
Yeah,
okay? The bracha we shown on each one is a different union. That's the union of Hefzik. But let's go through the rest. Go ahead. Yeah. So Tosos and the Rashbam say that one of their main problems on Rashi is that the general halacha is a kos of Kiddush and a kos of Birkos HaMazon itself needs a kos yofeh. That's exactly where the term of kos yofeh comes from. It comes from saying that when you make Kiddush, you have to have a revius of Yayin. So how does Rashi possibly say that you can make Kiddush on the quarter of a revius?
Didn't you just tell me you can make a bracha on...
Bracha Rishona. Barbriya Gafen you make on a kol shu. But Kiddush you don't make on a kol shu. You don't make Kiddush on the kol shu. Right? That's what Tosas mentions. Does the Rashbam have that question? Yeah, you see the Tosas in the middle of At the Amrit? He says, Ach kasha, echa yasover hamakshe. According to Rashi, desagi lekulu b'mizigas kos yofeh. How is it possible that, even the Havamina, how is it possible to have the Havamina, that one kos yofeh could be sufficient for all four kosos? Vaha ika bahani arba kosos, kosho bracha. There is a kosho bracha in these four kosos. Shehu kos yofeh, and that itself is a kos yofeh. How's it possible?
How's he
going to
learn the benching?
Yep. Yeah. The question once more is that how could Rashi, Tosas mentions this question, how could Rashi say that one kos yofeh is sufficient for all four kosos combined, right? When one of those kosos, at least, you know, the benching certainly and the kiddush would seem, are themselves what we call a kosho bracha. And a kosho bracha itself needs a kos yofeh. So it can't be that a part is greater than the whole. That's just not logical. A part cannot be greater than the whole. Would you agree with that, Mayor? So if a part has to be a kos yofeh, right, it can't be equal to the whole. So if a part has to be a kos yofeh, then the whole thing can't be a kos yofeh. So obviously, part of this whole thing is Rashi's going to have to work out that the normal requirement of kos yofeh, for some reason, wouldn't apply over here. And something over there. Good. So that's the first case. First case is arba kos lot sochshi ben kedimik zigas kos yofeh. Next.
Shosam chai.
Yotza.
Shosam bevas achas.
Yotza.
Ashkemahen, Labano,
Lubnei Beso, Yatza. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to return to each one. Shason Chai, what does that mean, Shason Chai, that you're Yotzei? What does Yachai mean, Rashi? Okay, but physically, what does that mean? It would have to mean you have a full Rezai, a full Revius of Yain Chai. That would seem, that's the way everybody seems, that's the way the other Rishonim are learning. Doesn't seem that Rashi would argue. It means to say, l'chatchili should have the chai to be mixed with the water, to arrive at a mixed revius. But let's say you just had a revius of the yayin chai. Okay, but if you don't have the revius, it doesn't seem as possible.
So anyway, so you drank it, you drank the shear that you need, but in the concentrated form. Okay, go ahead.
Amarava, yidei yayin yatza, yidei chirz lo yatza.
Okay, we'll just do it this way, go ahead. So what does it mean yidei yayin yatza? Rashi.
Shishasa dalakosos.
So that means you would say your basic chiv of dalakosos, it seems, right?
Well, is he saying there's like a chiv of yayin? Which
the Dalakosos are filling? No. Mstavri's learning it means you say the basic mitzvah of Dalakosos. Okay. But what does it mean you're not Yotzei Cheres?
Klomar ain't Zemetzer Shlema.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It means to say you're really Yotzei, but you didn't do it in the best way. You're really Yotzei, but you didn't do it in the best way. Okay, so I'll ask you a question on this. Let me ask you a question on this. I don't want an answer from you today, but just to think about it for tomorrow. Questions like this. Now we're saying that there's an inyan of cheres in the dalet kosos, right? And the Gemara says that on Kuf Yud Zayin, right? There are cheres tiknu, dalet kosos. But if you didn't do cheres, you're yotze anyway. So it's not ma'akev, right? But there's a question. What's the question? There's another thing that they instituted because of cheres. You know what I mean? Haseba. When you eat, we lean. And that is also an inyan of cheres. But what's the halacha if you did your achilas matzah without leaning, or if you drank the kos without leaning? You're not yotzei. You have to do it again. Not yotzei the achila. It has to be dafka derech cheres. So why? What's the difference between this derech cheres that we say you're just not yotzei the mitzvah b'shlei musa, but you're yotzei, and that derech cheres that you're not yotzei at all? What's that? Good. So that's two. So that's already what? So we got the first thing is the shear, the havamina shear. Now we have chai, okay? And by chai we say you really fulfilled your basic requirement, but not in the best way. And we call that best way cheres for some reason. Go ahead. Now the next case is vivas achas. So here's another machlok between Rashi and the other Rishonim. Vivas achas, we got to back it up. We skip this Rashi. How does he learn vivas achas? It's before you day ayin yatsa.
Ira arba asan basof kosa.
Strange Rashi. So again, Rashi has a strange sheet here. He says, what does it mean that you drank all four kosos at once? It means you took those four little kosos that had the quarter of yis each in them, and you emptied them into a bigger kos, and you drank that down at once. Rashi calls that drinking what? The four kosos at once. Everybody else says that doesn't make any sense. That's one kos. You can have a giant kos. Right? It's like we said by the Matanos Levionim. Even if you say one pruta is the shear, that's what the Rashbam says. That's right. Called the shear lamata. You don't say if I gave two prutos to an ani on Purim, I gave two Matanos Levionim. No, I gave a bigger matana. Is a shear lamata on the matana. Less than a pruta is not considered the matana. $100 is also, this is just a bigger matana. It's not 100 matanas, it's not 1,000 matanas. So what does Rashi mean if I take four of the shiurim that would qualify as a minimal shiur of a kos, I pour them all into one kos, now that's called drinking four kosos at once. Right? So how did the other Rishonim learn? Ritzufim was like literally four separate kosos, and I knock them down one after the other. Essentially, it means not in the Seder that the Chachamim instituted. I saw one of the Rishonim differentiates between literally Ritzufim, like a rush, and one after the other. You want to say maybe in the rush is different, because it's like one long drinking. But what? No, you wouldn't need four separate brachos. That's the question of Hefsik. If there was no Hefsik, you wouldn't need four separate brachos. Do you mean you need the brachos in order to be Yotzei? Which bracha do you mean?
Bracha Rishonah.
Bracha Rishonah? No, you don't need bracha Rishonah to be Yotzei. You don't need bracha Rishonah to be Yotzei. You just have to be ala Seder, right? They learn it, to be Yotzei. Because some Rishonim learn you don't make a bracha Rishonah on the second coast and on the fourth coast. Because they hold, it's not a Hefsik. Right. The question is the Haggadah, the third one you have to, because you have Birkas HaMazon, no choice. But the second kos, You made a kiddush. So you talked a lot in between. So people talk during their meal. You don't make a bracha on the coast because you had a big conversation during your meal. This is a good question because that's the question of because you have to say the Haggadah and that's considered, and since you can't, the different answers, but the main answer is since you have to say the Haggadah, it's a chiyuv, and you can't drink while you say the Haggadah, that's a hafsek. If you have to do something and it prevents you from doing the thing you were involved in, that's called a hafsek. Okay? Anyhow, so that's the other machlokas we have for Rashi and the other Rishonim. What's the definition of bevas achas? Are they related to the way they started? I mean, certainly the Rashbam. Is it a related issue or is it a second? Is it a different issue? I don't know. I have to think about that. Go ahead. What else have we got? Okay, so Rav again is explaining. What does it mean? What does it mean you're not Yotzei? So he says it means you're Yotzei Yayin, but you're not Yotzei four kosos. So that's why this Yotzei Yayin is not the same as the last Yotzei Yayin. The last Yotzei Yayin meant you were really Yotzei the mitzvah of Dalai Kosos, but not Bishlei Musa. This Yotzei Yayin, the Rashbam and Tosos say, interesting, they say it means the chiyav, the general chiyav of drinking Yayin for Simchas Yom Tov. So here we have another thing to stop and think about. What's the Havamina? Tosa says. Tosa says there's a Havamina here that since they were Masakin four Kosos, you wouldn't even be Yotzei the Chiv of Simchas Yom Tov Ayidei Shasias Yayin unless you were Yotzei the Mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. In other words, it's a very interesting Havamina. Tosa learns that there's a Chiv Simcha to drink Yayin at the night of the Seder. Different than other Yom Tov. Other Yom Tov is generally in the day. The night of the Seder, Tosus holds, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and how do we do Simcha? Simcha is Ayde Yayin. It's just a separate mitzvah to have Yayin on the night of the Seder. For some reason, Tosus has a Hava, says there's a Hava meaning in the Gemara, that even though there's a second, it's a different Chov to drink wine, separate from the Chov of Dalet Kosos. Even if there were no Dalet Kosos, you'd have to drink Yayin for Simcha. There's a Hava meaning that once they made the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, you won't even be Yotzei Yechiv Yayin, Stam Yayin for Simcha, unless you were Yotzei Dalet Kosos. So that's another thing we have to think about. As a Havamina Maskana, we have to think about. You look at the Tosos, and you look at the Rashbam, okay? We're just setting up the problems today. Yeah. So those are basically the facts. And then, the case of giving it to you, the family is not, we don't need to worry about right now. But then basically, you'll go through it more in detail, but basically the Gemara brings down a brisa later that seems to contradict the original shear that Shmuel proposed. And now again, depending on Rashi or the Rashbam, it comes out the same way in the end though, that what? That according to Rashi, the Gemara is now saying the Havamina was, it was one revius among all four, and now it changes to one revius per kos. According to the Rashbam, there never was a Havamina that it was a four kos shear. Everybody always knew it was a per kos shear, but they thought maybe Mezigas Kos Yofa is different than revius, right? Maybe it's bigger than revius, it would seem. Maskana is, it's the same. But basically, we have what we have to think about is what? We have to think about the sugya according to Rashi, his havamina of distributing it among four kosos, which is very unusual. How you have the problems of the logical problems. I mean, just what's a kos less than a revius? Who ever heard of anything? And why would give one shear for all four? What sense does that make? One shear for all four. And then his way of learning bevas achas is also strange. And Rashbam and Tosos seem right. That once you take four things and you put it into one big coast, it's one coast, right? And then but you also have to understand the sugi coins of the Rashbam. Okay, so we have to sort of identify what is the underlying issue over here. You know, I was trying to figure out. Obviously, over here the Gemara is grappling with how did they institute the idea, how did the four kosos were instituted, halachically speaking, what does it mean to have the four kosos? There's an idea of seder, there's an idea of the quality of the kosos, right? And then also is the very idea of the Simchas Yayin tied up now intrinsically in the four kosos. Okay, I know it's a lot, it's a big mess, but tomorrow I'll give you, I guess we'll focus in on one point and we'll work it through in a more organized way. Okay?
Okay.